Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy?
You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you batter the Pope?
Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, where we attempt to find the best game within a very specific category. For example, this week we're looking for the best game with a surprising guest star or cameo. Whether it's Patrick Stewart in The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, Sean Bean in The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, or Terrence Stamp in The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion, there are numerous examples of big-name Hollywood actors showing up in video games where you least expect them. And we're going to explore that today with our panel. For months and months, my boss, Tom Ari, has been saying to me, we need to get some big names onto the podcast. And I'm pleased to report that I have completely failed in this endeavor so far. So please welcome for the second time, my mate Owen O'Donnell.
Hello.
From the Infinite Review.
Oh, hi, Jim. Nice
hey,
to
how
see
you doing? Yeah, how you doing?
It's like going down to the pub, this.
And in his first ever appearance on this podcast, but almost certainly the last, my other mate, Richie Morgan, from the Scottish Games podcast circuit. And that time you completed Dark Souls on Twitch. How you doing?
It's so funny when you're like, I wonder what you were going to say from... And of course, we have Richie Morgan from My Life.
Yeah, from Game Wank. I'm not allowed to talk about Game Wank. Tom doesn't like it. Richie, it's your first time on this podcast, but by no means your first time on a podcast, because you seem to be on everyone's podcast.
I just get sucked into them.
Right. Okay.
I'll try not to think about the next time I'm asking you on. I'm not sucking you anywhere. Do you want to join me for a chat? No,
it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
Seasonal podcaster Richie Morgan. There's a bunch of games podcasts in Scotland, just for people who don't know. And every Christmas they do, there's like 12 Christmas specials, and Richie just shows up on all of them. Like,
do they only exist in Scotland? Like, do they not?
Well, that's what I was
broadcast?
About to say. they're broadcast on STV.
and you just show up every year in your fucking Santa hat, and everyone has a great time.
Yeah, I guess so. I already feel a bit too exposed here, and maybe we should. people don't care.
See, the thing is, Richie, his appearance fee is always written in mince pies. So, and the only time of year you can get them is at Christmas. So we just can't get them the rest
and
of the year.
And easy peelers.
Yeah, right, Tom. You will have noticed that I have populated our podcast with my friends. So I'm sorry about that. But there is
I mind enough the first time when Owen was on. I was like, who is Owen?
Yeah, but Owen won you over with his cheeky charm, isn't it?
He's a big name in the world of fringe indie video podcasts. So I was like, right, never heard of it before, but fine. That gave us zero movement on the views, downloads, stats.
I was happy enough with the zero, because it's like, as long as it doesn't cause you to have fewer viewers.
Yeah, as long as it's just
Jim's reused it on the TikToks as well, so I'm not sure we did that with your contract, whether we agreed that or not, but you're on our TikTok now as well.
I love the implication here, like fucking Tom here is Mr. Hollywood.
In relative terms, probably. But Richie was like, Jim has for months been like, now and again, just dropping in some random part of the podcast about Game Wank. And we're like, nobody knows what that is. Nobody has a clue what that is. And then Jim's like, but I want to get my friend from that on. I'm like, literally, it's nobody has any idea who Richie is apart from in Jim's head and my Slack messages talking about Richie and WhatsApp messages about, look what Richie said. I'm like, wonderful. Well, that's hilarious what you said to Richie, but I really don't know who he is.
Yeah, Jim lives to basically get to upset me a lot of the time on WhatsApp. But can I also clarify that I haven't been at the other end of this going, Jim, can I please be on your podcast?
Yeah.
I have never at any point said that, so...
Yeah, so just to clarify, Richie doesn't want to be here. Right, let's get into the game part of this podcast that it is ostensibly about before we start getting into a character assassination of me specifically. Right, so the topic is the best game with a surprise cameo or guest star. I'm thinking Vanilla Ice in that crime game that just came out where Vanilla Ice is in it, you know, that kind of stuff where people just pop up and you don't expect it. And I think I first want to hear from Owen. What have you got?
Right, I had a big long list of potential choices.
Do they have any props attached to them or not? Have you got anything to show us?
Yeah. So we'll get to it. The first thing that came to mind was Gackt in Dirge of Cerberus, because famously, like, Gackt has appeared in a couple of games, but he was live action in Dirge of Cerberus, which was just the most ridiculous way to end an already ridiculous game. But I wasn't going to come on here and argue that that was the best game in any regard, but... I was very tempted to bring on Anna Kournikova's Smash Court Tennis, not for Anna Kournikova, because that's hardly a guest star, Yoshimitsu was unlockable in that. So, that's like a guest star in Anna Kournikova's game. Probably the game I should have picked was Mario Maker, because in the original Mario Maker, and it's something that they unfortunately took out of two, there was the guest sprites, which included Baby Metal and Areno from Game Center CX.
Oh, yeah.
And Shaun the Sheep.
Good. I forgot about those, but that's good.
Is that the first prop?
That's the first prop.
Okay, is there any more props?
Second one is Wallace himself. Okay. And sure, why not?
Yeah. That's Grandma. The full set, nice.
Ready to Rumble, round two, had Shaq, Michael Jackson, Bill Clinton, and Hillary Clinton in the ring, punching the heads off each other.
Could you batter the Clintons as the Clintons?
Yeah. And what was great was Michael Jackson had the diamond-encrusted boxing glove, which is just excellent. It's a good game. Kamiya showing up in the Wonderful 101 as one of the selectable guys. Spider-Man in Shinobi. Snoop Dogg in lots of things, and Gone in Tekken 3. All of these amazing choices. Mm-hmm. Any one of them would have won the game, but what did I pick? Well, I've gone for The Lost World Jurassic Park Special Edition on the PlayStation 1.
Oh,
which famously ends with a video message from Ian Malcolm, played by Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Who doesn't seem too worried about getting into character.
Thank you. Thank you for sticking with it, for not giving up. That is really something. Now, you know what you should do? Turn the thing off, for heaven's sakes, and go outside.
Just the star power of that. If you think about when The Lost World came out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what? There's just nothing bigger. And what's amazing to me is this was put in as like a little surprise treat at the end. And you think about the way IP is handled now. Is there any chance that you would get Jeff Goldblum to appear in a game without, you know, he has to show up at fucking E3.
Yeah, without him being on the box art, yeah.
Yeah, he has to introduce the game. And the video of him at the end, it's just so beautifully of the time. Because it's clearly off the cuff.
Yeah.
And he just tells the player, okay, you finished the game. Now go outside, blow the stink off you. Go talk to a member of the opposite sex. He's just like, you know, you're a fucking loser, by the way. And it's like, it's just so wonderfully 90s.
Breathe the air, take a walk, call a member of the opposite sex. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you have a whole life out there. Get the stink blown off you. Just go.
Comparing it to the Jurassic Park game that came out recently, Evolution 2, that has Jeff Goldblum. And yes, he shows up during E3 or the games thing, Jeff, to talk about it. And he sits there and he's selling you the game and he's talking about it. And all his in-game speeches are just like just nonsense about like chaos and control and like trying somehow to convince you that Ian Malcolm is completely supporting you in this endeavor to build a park when that's what he doesn't want people to do.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, we have to make the game. But like, we already know, we've seen the real Jeff Goldblum and how he feels about this stuff. He's not interested. And it's like, you can tell that piss take from before, that was just so much more honest.
Yeah.
And I had all these notes that I should be referring to because I'm just talking. So like, all he does is mock the smelly, loveless gamer. I said the star power to game quality ratio here is wild. And I don't want to say that because that might work against me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The game is excellent. Everyone thinks the game is great and controls really well. So it's a really good game. famously, the special edition is just the game released again with the controls being a little better because of how poorly it controlled. But
what was this game? How did it play? Was it a 2D platformer?
Like sort of 2.5, you know, 3D, but going from side to side, and it alternated between playing as dinosaurs or as people trying not to be eaten by the dinosaurs. And the soundtrack, the score is incredible, and the composer for all the world films, it's kind of like him doing this job got him that job. And he also went on to do all your Star Trek. So give me points for that, Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
He does
the
Star Trek
fine,
films and shows and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That clip of Jeff Goldblum is just from another age, and it's a fascinating artifact.
Yeah, it's very Attitude Era, isn't it? It's that kind of sort of, you know, off the cuff. It's not that good. Like, you know, he's not an improv genius, but it's like, it's charming. And he is telling people to go and have a bath, which is, you know, which is also good.
I think it's an excellent choice, and I'd just like to thank Jim for his time.
Do you have a prop for this one? There's no game. You haven't got the game.
No, but I've got these are two Transformers. That's like the Jeep from Jurassic Park.
Oh,
it turns
shit.
Into
okay.
a hunter. You got like a
I've got
hunter's
I bought
hat.
Those for my 9-year-old son.
Yeah, these are his. So unless you want me to break them.
All right, okay.
I saw Jeff Goldblum in a film last night, actually.
Which film was it?
It was Morning Glory. No one's ever heard of this.
No.
It's on Netflix now. They bill it as a rom-com, but it's not. It's just Harrison Ford's in it as a grumpy man.
Yeah.
He's like a news anchor who's angry about no longer doing proper news. He's on a morning show, and he's very bitter about this. But then Rachel McAdams is a producer on the show and turns him around. Wins him over. I've spoiled it. That's the end of the film. he likes doing it in the end, sort of, and makes a frittata.
Sounds great.
This is like when James Bond made a quiche.
There was a moment there where you got where you spoiled the film, and Richie looked like genuinely quite shocked. Like, oh, oh my god, that's on my list.
They got together.
Right. Okay. All right. So Jurassic Park: The Lost World. What platform?
PlayStation 1.
PS 1. All right. Okay. Of course.
Well, special edition. Yeah. So yeah. It has slightly better controls.
All right. All right. What is the best game with a surprise cameo or guest star, Tom Ori? What have you got?
So I was thinking about this, Jim, for a while.
Yeah.
And I thought, what is a cameo? And then you messaged me and said that they changed the whole thing, and what I'd said was wrong this morning at the last moment. So I had to rethink, and I convinced you actually know I was right. Before that, I wanted, like, there's a little story that goes with this partly.
Yeah.
That highlights the power of a cameo.
Yeah.
And a surprise appearance, right? So it's a couple of years ago, I think it was near Christmas, maybe. My wife was like, we need some Leb Kuchen for Christmas, right? You know, the gingery, are they gingery?
Yeah.
Like soft biscuit things with icing on them, right? They're like a Christmas thing now that we have here, right? I'm not sure if you, they're quite middle class probably. I went to a local supermarket, right?
Yeah.
To look for some Leb Kuchen. I just walked in the supermarket, and then in this particular supermarket, I won't say what name brand supermarket it was. I walked in and there was pastries, right?
Quite
pastries available to select in this supermarket. I was just walking past it looking for the Leb Kuchen, and then I heard do poo poo, right? Do poo poo was what I heard. And this was a mother talking to her child, 2-year-old or something, and I turned around, and she got a potty out, right, and the child was doing a poo in the potty, right, and this was quite near the pastries in the supermarket. It's like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, I could not believe what I was witnessing, right? And it just carried on. And I was like, did anyone else see this happen? Like, no one else seemed bothered by this event happening inside this supermarket. And everyone was just carrying on their business, probably inches away, picking pastries from this shelf of pastries next to this potty full of poo. I just couldn't believe it. So if we're talking about surprise cameos, I think that is right up there, right? No one expects to see that in a supermarket at Christmas time.
No, you're right.
Right, but unfortunately, I can't pick that as my choice because it's a gaming podcast, right? So, I had to tell that story because otherwise, my whole bit is very dull. I can't really can't win you over with the excitement of this choice.
I had to look up the definition of cameo there because I was like, is that a cameo? So a small character part in a play or film played by a distinguished actor or celebrity. So I guess the play is the story, and the character is the poo.
Yeah. They say every little's a stage, right?
I want everyone watching the video version of this podcast to go back and look at the smile on Richie's face when Tom brought up pastries. As soon as he started talking about pastries... The biggest smile, just like he was loving that story. Now we're getting somewhere. Now this is the podcast.
My favorite part of the morning is the pastry section in the wee Sainsbury's around the corner. I'll get a wee chocolate croissant or an almond croissant.
He won't stop, so I'll just cut across him. The other thing, Tom, is I don't know if this is part of a bit, so by all means, cut this out if it's part of a bit. But you told this story on the previous podcast. Not like 10 podcasts
We've recorded like 6 since then, and he's done it on every single one. That's like it's a running joke.
I just... As I was thinking, just cut me out pointing that out.
I was sitting here thinking, like, God, what a story to bring to a podcast. That's incredible. What a... That's brilliant.
We've just every show now.
We've just proven that I listen and Richie doesn't. So that's another point for me.
Sorry, this is incredible. Like the two worlds colliding here, which is like the two like biggest like da's in my life, just having a da off in the podcast. Right, okay. Right, all right, Tom, what is your choice for this topic?
Oh yeah. All right, so yeah. the game I picked, and I had to think of something that was, I think, to be a proper cameo, it shouldn't really, like, it has to be like unexpected. The timing has to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
And you have to be like, did I really see that? Did that happen? Like, I think sometimes cameos are really like, they're just in the film or they're in the thing, right? They're not really a cameo. Like Brad Pitt is in a film I saw recently. With, I can't remember what the film's called even, but it's like, he's in it for like half an hour. That's not a cameo. He's just in that film,
it's
right?
Just in it. It's like Robin Williams and Tu Wong Fu, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I have no idea.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
But the game I've picked is Halo Reach, right? Which is definitely a brilliant game. It's probably the best Halo, I reckon, like in terms of like, it was like Bungie's, like they'd done all the other ones. And this is the even though it wasn't Master Chief, right? It was probably the best Halo. Like they learned a load of stuff from making other ones. This was really good. I think probably the best Halo game, right? And then the cameo is right at the end of Halo Reach. And Halo Reach is like, even though it is their fourth, maybe fifth, it's ODST, yeah. So fifth Halo, right? But it's like a prequel to the first Halo. Combat Evolved, right? So at the end, the final cutscene, I think, I can't quite remember, but all the events happen, blah, 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 even big fights. It's big cutscene happens, and then you think, right, it's basically leading up to the start of the first Halo. In the final cutscene, you can hold right on the analog stick. If you keep holding it in the cutscene, you turn, and there, right there, is Master Chief in one of his, in like the pod. It gets fired, he's in on the ship, right? That is like, you don't even know. Most people miss this, right? So you might say it's an Easter egg. I don't think it is an Easter egg. I think it's a cameo. And it's such a clever one because it's literally like, look, this is the next game. There he is. He's there. You moaned. He wasn't the star of this, but there he is. He's there, ready. He wasn't fighting in that last bit because he was in the ship waiting to do the next game. I think that's just a really good cameo though for people that are like really into it. It's like, yeah, I've seen him, he's there, it's Master Chief. It's the kind of thing you go, look, that's Master Chief, right?
Yeah.
So I think that wins.
And he's
much better game than Lost World, right?
Yeah. So he's in it's like Alfred Hitchcock in Rope, isn't it?
Why do you bring up stuff I've not seen, Jim?
Or you can say it like, or any Alfred Hitchcock film.
No, in Rope. Specifically in Rope. Because you remember, Rope has the bit that it's only if you look to the right. He's going to be fired into the next film.
Right. Right, okay, fucking battle suit, fucking Hitchcock. Right, okay, all right, okay. So just to be clear, Tom, your surprise cameo is Master Chief in a Halo game.
It's not the Master Chief Halo game, is it,
James? Don't be awkward. All right, okay. Richie, what is the best game with a surprise cameo or guest star?
See, I found this one really tough. I was quite annoyed, actually, when I got invited on, I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. And then you said, a game with a surprise guest. And I was like, Of course, now Owen's, given lots of great examples. I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, if I was a PC gamer in the 90s, it would have been sorted. But I haven't, I'm not.
Tom, I'm sorry that Richie specified Owen gave lots of great examples.
Yeah,
sorry.
Mm. You did reel off about all the choices, so just pick one.
Yeah, just to cover all
my,
the bases.
My hope was that someone had picked one of those, and then I could say, but I didn't go with that because that's very poor.
But something came to mind, and it was I basically went back to my very first video game I ever owned.
Wow.
So I haven't actually played it in 30 years. But
wow, okay.
So I am referring to the the James Bond 007 Action Pack ZX Spectrum Plus 2.
Right.
That's okay. The one he makes a quiche in.
Which came with three James Bond light gun games, which I'm just counting as one.
Right.
And it came with the Spectrum light gun. I'm doing a light gun finger here.
Okay.
I mean, they were just pretty much three generic light gun games. But what was interesting about it is obviously everyone here knows that a Spectrum game comes on a cassette tape, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you turn the tape over and put it into a tape player.
Oh, here we go.
It had three recorded messages from Q. That were recorded by Desmond Llewellyn himself. And what happened was it was the message from Q to 007 that lined up with the game. So the first game was called Lord Bromley's Estate. And it's just a clay pigeon shooting game. I know. It was a clay pigeon shooting game. And you're just at a posh person's house shooting clay pigeons.
This is fucking James Bond at an Airbnb.
Yeah, basically. So you get
the quiche is becoming more like it.
So you get this recorded message from Q where he's like, "Look, Bond, we haven't sent you on holiday. You're there with a bunch of European delegates, and what's happened is," he tells a story about Agent 002, right?
Yeah,
who's been found dead.
Yeah.
So someone's out to assassinate these delegates that you're with. So just hang around and make sure nothing happens. So the entire game is you're shooting clay pigeons. And then at the very end, a helicopter appears and goes back and forth. You shoot the helicopter 10 times. It turns around and it leaves. And then at the end of the message, so Q's like, "So just watch out. There's something going on." And then a voice comes up. The voice comes on.
MI5.
They're really on the ball.
Then a voice comes on the tape and says, "Stop the tape now and play the next section." So you play the, and then you go into the next game, which is Q's Armory, which you're basically just, you know, the bit in the James Bond film where he goes to see Q. And again, it's Q saying like, "So I don't know what was going on at the estate there, but there seemed to be, we got some baddies that were going to assassinate those delegates. I'm glad you managed to stop them. That could have been a problem." And then he gives you a special gun, which is meant to be your light gun.
Yeah.
And then you just do some target practice at his armory, and then that's the end of that game. And then the third game is a repackaging of The Living Daylights, and it was just renamed to Mission Zero. But it's the same game. It's just a light gun game, and then you get another message from Q. And again, what I like about it is it just comes from that time where it's like, we'll make a game and we'll think about how we're tying it in later.
Yeah.
And it's like, so what we've done is we've got a tape that ties all three of the games together and creates a story. And but also at the time you're like, fucking hell, that's Q.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That
from
might be
James Bond.
That might have been one of the first examples of like,
which
a
was
big,
quite surprising.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, you know, you didn't get like actors in video games until like the PS1 era, right?
Did the box art mention Q at all?
I'm looking at the box art now.
But does it say, like, introduced by Q? If it did, that's not a surprise, is it?
It's not. I can't see.
I'm looking forward to flashing up so many images of John Delancey in this, by the way.
Hold on. I'm looking at the box. I have been looking at the box art, and there's nothing on it. There's probably some small text on there.
Richie, you do know that
no,
Q
I can't find any
in
on the box.
James Bond isn't a Q. Like, will
James,
that, will that
sure
ruin the,
James, the
films?
The Bond films would have been a lot shorter, I imagine. Unless Q was throwing Bond into these situations.
Yeah, Q was testing Bond. If Bond can save the world, then humanity's not so bad.
It's Q that keeps changing his appearance. No, there's nothing. Like, so the box, I got it secondhand, so I didn't have any of this stuff. But the box had, like, a James Bond passport and a letter from MI5 and a top secret envelope and all that. But yeah, it's just... I was trying to find an image of the tape, actually.
This is just...
It's not advertised. Like, you look at the box, it's just a picture of James Bond and two kids pointing a gun at him. And a Spectrum keyboard. So, yeah.
Nice.
Surprising to me. I didn't have the box, so it was a big surprise.
Incredible. Right, okay. We need to wrap this up because we're over half an hour already. So I'm gonna go to the next section where I have to pick something. She's just too many fucking commas, her. Right, so we've got three incredible choices. It would be Richie who comes onto this podcast with a fucking Spectrum game. I think the first...
I like how it was James Bond, but it's like, imagine getting that, thinking I'm going to be James Bond, and then it's like Duck Hunt. The second game is just like Tin Can Alley, and then the third game is who, I don't know. You described it as it's just like that other game, which, assuming everyone knows exactly what that other game is.
What I meant is it's just you're finally killing enemies in the last game.
I can just imagine everyone being like, oh yeah, Living Daylights on the Spectrum, I remember that. I remember that. Right, okay, so we've got this bizarre assortment of Spectrum light gun games from Richie. We've got the Lost World Special Edition on PS1 featuring a cameo from Jeff Goldblum, which I think is possibly the man with the biggest star power that's come up. And we've got Halo Reach, which is a Halo game.
Saying Jeff Goldblum is a bigger star than Master Chief?
I am saying that. We got to be sensible sometimes.
Jeff Goldblum, the man who literally plays himself in every film.
Or Desmond Llewellyn.
Yeah.
I mean, when Jeff Goldblum started turning into a fly, and someone clicked their fingers and said, "Hang on, quick, get the cameras. There's a film in this." I mean, you gotta love that quick on your feet kind of thinking. That's the man. That's Hollywood magic, though.
So I think, right? I mean, there's no denying that Halo Reach is a good game, but I think this is a real stretch, Tom. And I do admire you for persevering, even after Richie read out the definition of a cameo and it did not cover looking slightly to the right and seeing Master Chief.
Jim. Yeah. I think the fair thing here is that we've all lost. Because if you think about it, none of these are surprising, are they? Not one is a surprise. Is it? Jeff Goldblum in a Jurassic Park game, that's not a surprise at all, is it? That's expected. A character from James Bond in a James Bond game, a major character, really, is not expected. I accept Master Chief in a Halo game isn't unexpected, right? But at least my one, he wasn't actually meant, like, no one thought he was in it, right? It was all like, he's not in this one.
Yeah.
He's not in it. And then he was in it, so that was a surprise. But I accept that we can all lose together.
So yeah. When we all lose, whose fault is it? Is it the person who came up with the...
Jeff Goldblum at the end of The Lost World Jurassic Park. That was a surprise.
Yeah,
and you definitely would not expect a video of him.
Yeah.
And it's on location as well.
Most people know Jeff Goldblum as someone in video, though. That's not a surprise. He appears in video to most people.
What other format? You've got to try that new PlayStation 1 game. When you complete it, it beams dreams. You will have a dream that night about Jeff Goldblum, guaranteed. Like, what other delivery system?
It would have been a smash hit.
You could go down the road of audio.
Right, yeah. All right, let's just put everyone out of their misery, all right? Okay, I'm giving the point to Owen because... Right. Although it might not be surprising, particularly surprising that Jeff Goldblum's in a It might not be particularly surprising that Jeff Goldblum's in a Jurassic Park game. Ultimately, that particular appearance was a bit under the radar. It wasn't advertised, and it just happens at the end. And it's got some surprising content. It's a video game telling you to stop playing video games.
It's a bit like the end of that. Have you seen the new Ghostbusters, Jim?
Yeah.
You see the new Ghostbusters film?
Yeah.
Shall I spoil that as well, right? At the end of that, you watch it, the credits come up, it's like, and Sigourney Weaver. I was like, Sigourney Weaver's not in this film. And then there's like a tiny bit at the end. Sigourney Weaver. That was a good cameo.
Yeah.
Because it had no impact at all on the plot of the film whatsoever. It's just literally just appearing for the sake of it. That's why we've, like, I get, okay, Owen's one, I give it to him. That had no impact on the game whatsoever, did it? It just appeared at the end.
Yeah.
Didn't impact the game. And I accept that even though, how many Jurassic Park films has Jeff Goldblum been in?
Four.
Do we know? Five? Four?
Four.
So, like, if someone was going to appear, probably Jeff Goldblum, right? But whatever.
What's funny is in that new Evolution 2, Jeff Goldblum voices Ian Malcolm and also Bryce Dallas Howard reprises her Claire Daring role, but Owen Grady is not played by Chris Pratt, so when the three of them are talking to each other and yet you know Chris Pratt's voice so well because everyone has been forced to endure it for hours.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you like, his voice has appeared in it, and so hearing it cut to him, and he does a pretty good job, but it's like, that's not him.
Yeah, just takes you right out of it.
I should have got Charles Martinet to do it, shouldn't they?
I want to see those three actors hanging out. The awkward dynamic of not Chris Pratt.
they might
be relieved that it's not Chris Pratt. They'd be like, oh, thank fuck, we got a normal guy. Right. Okay. We better let everyone go and do their things that they actually have to do. Thank you so much, Richie and Owen, for coming on and annoying my boss for half an hour.
Make sure you share this with all your followers.
I tell you what, the one Welsh guy that gets really annoyed every time Tom loses is going to be absolutely fuming this week, so I'm really looking forward to that. All right,
but even Tom gave it to me, so
yeah well, yeah, you know, sanctioned. Tom was robbed, but it was sanctioned by Tom. So did you see Richie was
Tom
raging when I gave it to you, though?
And said, help yourself.
Richie was fuming when I gave it to you, though. And did you catch that? Did you catch the little flicker of contempt?
I ruined my potential of having 1 point forever.
Yeah.
And whatever this ends up being.
Yeah, exactly. All right, okay. Let's say goodbye, everyone, because we've got Mike Channel coming on the next one, and he's actually a big
bye, bye.
I haven't heard of him.
Bye.
What are you doing up there? What are you doing up there? Good, the basket's 10.